Hey everyone, this is Adam Ellenboss from Nightlight Astrology, and today we are going to take another look at Mars conjoining Pluto in the sign of Aquarius, which is coming through today and tomorrow. We started off our week by looking at its archetypal nature yesterday. Today we're going to continue and we're going to do horoscopes for all 12 signs. These are going to be like little mini horoscopes in the sense that we're just going to remind you of which whole sign house the Mars-Pluto conjunction is happening in according to your whole sign birth chart, and which topics you might see activated by the conjunction of Mars and Pluto. So that will be our agenda for today, and hopefully this can make it a little bit more personally accessible, or it can help you to notice it within your life, because the transits in an archetypal vacuum are always helpful to go over. But I think with a transit this big that everyone's talking about, it's nice to kind of, you know, zoom in and look at which house it's appearing in the whole sign birth chart. So anyway, that's what we're doing today. Before we get into it, smash, hit, like, the like button, press, kick. What else is there? We have to come up with an interesting adjective every day for the like button. But I really do appreciate it when you guys take a moment to tap the like button and share your comments and reflections. Of course, it's really nice to hear from you guys. It creates community around the posts. We really enjoy that. You can find a transcript of any of my daily talks on the website, which is nightlightastrology.com. I want to take you over there because this week we have the first of a special series of events that I've just started, which is a new monthly webinar series that I am I'm doing starting this month. If you go to the homepage, nightlightastrology.com, you'll see live events. If you go up to the events tab, you could scroll down and click live events. Either way, it takes you to the same place. And you will notice that the page has been updated even since I've told you guys about it. We now have all three of the webinars that I'm doing on the outer planets in love posted, so you can register if you'd like to. This one that happens on Thursday is from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern time. This is an exploration of Pluto's significations when it comes to love, sex, and relationships. So we're going to be looking at people who are born with Pluto-Venus contacts, Pluto seventh house contacts, Pluto in aspect to the ruler of the seventh house, all the different kinds of ways that Pluto shows up in a birth chart with something to say about your destiny when it comes to love and relationships. We're also going to look at Pluto by transit and the kinds of transits that Pluto makes to the natal chart that often involve Pluto in the topics of love and relationships. We're going to talk about how to work with Pluto. And this is really a class that's good for people of all levels. And it's just a one-off class. So it's not a series. It's not a master class. Something that I'm trying to do between, say, the intensity level of a one-year certification program and a master class, something a little bit lighter, but still useful for people of all levels. You'll scroll down and you can see that in March, I'm doing one on Neptune in love. And in April, I'm doing one on Uranus in love. And then every month after that, I will do one per month. So you can attend. It's $20 to register. When you do, if you can't make it live, you'll get the link to the webinar. And if you can't make it live, you also get the recording afterward as a download link. So you can listen to it on your own time if you can't attend the webinar. So anyway, hope to see some of you there coming up this Thursday night. And it's happening as Venus is getting together with Pluto. So it's perfect timing, isn't it? Well, let's take a look at, in the meantime, the first transit of the week, which is Mars's conjunction to Pluto. No joke, this transit. One of the transits that honestly, you know, every time you get Mars square, opposite, or conjoined Pluto, it tends to spike the viewership totals on my videos. That tells me that people know that when you get a planet conjoined square, opposed Pluto, that it's drama making. You have a transit that is known for a bit of drama. Here is the dynamic in the sky right now. You can see that Mars is coming into the conjunction with Pluto. If we advance this by one day, you're going to see that by tomorrow morning, Wednesday, February 14th, that's Valentine's Day, the carnage will be over and you can have a nice dinner and get some flowers. No. Pluto and Mars are already separating by tomorrow, but they're still within a degree, less than a degree. If we take this forward just a little bit, we're really going to get them completely 3 degrees apart from one another, you know, by Sunday. So you're going to have Mars-Pluto in the air, so to speak, the rest of this week. Now, Venus will also go through the conjunction to Pluto. That happens between Friday, February 16th, and Saturday, the 17th. So we're going to be looking at that as the week goes on. And I think that, you know, Venus-Pluto is just a very different, is it just a very different flavor than Mars-Pluto. So it's interesting that we have both in one week. It also speaks to the fact that Mars and Venus are coming closer together in the sky too, which is its own interesting thing that we'll be looking at in the weeks ahead. Okay, so with all of this in mind, what I have done today is I come up with just a series of key words that are drawn from yesterday's talk. In yesterday's talk, we looked at the archetypal combination of Mars and Pluto from the standpoint of the five themes to watch for. And I just pulled from those this set of descriptives: forceful, dynamic, volcanic, purifying, willful, changes of mind, idea, vision, paradigm, or structure. So I'm just putting some basic keywords together for Mars and Pluto in Aquarius. And what we're going to do now is I am going to run through the 12 whole sign houses according to your rising sign. This can be used to understand which whole sign house of your birth chart the Mars-Pluto dynamic is landing in. Now, if you use a quadrant-based house system like Porphyry, or if you use something like Placidus, then this will probably not work. In ancient astrology, Hellenistic astrology, Indian astrology, whole sign houses were probably the oldest and most original of the house system. So there've always been different house systems in astrology, and there's not, in my opinion, one right or wrong house system. But whole sign houses are definitely the house system that the theoretical language of ancient astrology is derived from. It comes out of a kind of whole sign paradigm. And so whole sign houses are the house system that I use in my practice, that I teach in my Hellenistic astrology programs. For that reason, we use it. Not surprisingly, they've been used in modern astrology for horoscopes as well. The difference between a rising sign horoscope and a sun sign horoscope is nothing, because both will just place the sign of the sun or the rising sign as the first whole sign house. So you could technically listen to this for your sun sign or your rising sign. I would recommend your rising sign, because that will actually accord with the whole sign house version of your birth chart, which means that the houses will line up with where the actual houses are in your natal chart. So that's why, you know, rising sign is recommended. But again, you can listen as you wish. Okay, so this is going to be quick. I'm not doing like a big deep dive. I'm just trying to give people who are interested this week, and I know lots of people are, some sense of what topics are being activated by the position of Mars and Pluto. Let's back this up just a little bit so that we can see it coming through. So I'm going to put it on Tuesday. That's today, February 13th. And we're going to start with Aries. So we've got Aries rising, which places Mars and Pluto in the 11th house. Now, we know, because we've done a bunch of horoscopes already, that Pluto entering that 11th house is creating a series of transformations over the course of many years to come, almost two decades, right? That will involve allies and groups of people, that will involve benefactors and teammates, so to speak. People who share the same visions, ambitions, dreams, aspirations, hopes, desires, especially when it comes to the development of your power, reputation, success, career, and social aspirations. So Mars-Pluto in this house can suggest a very dynamic and forceful change of mind, structure, paradigm when it comes to the social networks or the people or the groups or the sense of social belonging or place that is best for you. So you want to watch for the 11th house to be accelerating some kind of social and maybe professional changes, especially when it comes to networks, like-minded people, allies, friends, the people that you stand to benefit the most from collaborating with, things like that. So again, these are just small, quick keywords to help you sort of locate Mars-Pluto in the sky this week within the context of the topics of the chart. We're going to go forward like this and just do kind of brief reminders. we have Mars-Pluto for Tauruses coming into the 10th house. The enactment of change, changes of mind, idea, vision, paradigm, or structure that are volcanic, forceful, sudden, dynamic, eruptive. And this is all happening in the realm of career. Your actual job, the structure of a company, your relationship with your boss, power dynamics at work. This is about a swift and dramatic shift of priority, or it could be about a dramatic increase in your power or your role, or it could be a conflict in the workplace, or just initiating a kind of breakthrough moment, a moment of revisioning or redesigning something. So watch for this force of evolutionary change, this eruption of ideas, mind, and will in the arena of your career or your relation to the world. If you're not working, this is what engages you with the society that you live in. Just leave a little beat in there for the gods. So let's go to Gemini. Just get a little. All right, Gemini. Let's go to the 9th house. Society! I had to. Society, man. All right. Oh. Poor people out there listening. Oh, all right. We go on, moving on. Gemini takes us. We've got Mars, Pluto in the 9th house. So for Geminis, the Mars-Pluto dynamic is coming together in the house that orients us in the world through our beliefs. This could be religious, philosophical, political, moral, ethical, intellectual. What are the structures and thoughts of mind that orient your life in terms of the higher principles that act like a North Star or that orient the compass of your life? When Mars and Pluto get together, it's possible in the 9th house, as Pluto's enacting a long sequence of changes that are coming through, that you could be returning to school, you could be deepening an existing relationship to a religious or spiritual practice. It's possible that teachers or systems or people who act as guides or thought leaders are appearing or becoming more important or changing and transforming somehow. So we want to look to the force of evolutionary change on the level of mind, paradigm, thought, structures of mind with respect to those larger institutions of religion and higher learning. Maybe sometimes there's a connection to traveling abroad that could happen or that's intending itself into existence. Like I'm going to travel at some point. I now intend to, visit some other part of the world. That could be a very Mars Pluto in the 9th house kind of dynamic. But either way, you have the idea that you're catalyzing new thoughts or changes in thought that are not just simple ideas, but they may lead to different ways of almost like adjusting the destination or the route you're taking to get to the destination in your sort of internal GPS system. Those significant changes around learning, teaching, education, religion, philosophy, a nice connection there. I think that especially when the 9th house sees the 1st house, this is a transformation of mind that is happening in a place that's pretty conscious in the charts. You can really see what's going on and really think about it. I do apologize if I burst anybody's eardrums. It's been so long. Just, oh God. All right. So Cancer rising. For Cancers, gosh, it's happening in the 8th house. I like to think of the 8th house like a blood bank. And, a blood bank is an interesting place. You know, if you think about what a blood bank is, like the Red Cross, here's a place that, you know, if you are in a serious accident and you need blood because, you've lost a lot, the reason that it's there is because someone has donated, someone has given, someone has taken from their supply and it becomes yours. the eighth house gives to us from the life force of other people. But there is also a kind of cosmic ledger and a balance that needs to take place always when it comes to giving and receiving. We're not aware of, and it's almost, I think it's probably impossible to be aware of how exactly the scales are balanced, but the eighth house will balance things. And so things that have given a lot to us will at some point require, maybe through someone or something else, that we give. And things that we've given a lot to at some point will require that, you know, it will be required that we receive. And it's a very mysterious interaction. You could call it a place of debt. You could call it a place of penalties, but it's also a place of inheritance and blessings that come from other people. So it all depends on how you frame and think about the interaction of the, you know, the kind of metaphor of the blood bank. There's sacrifice involved in the eighth house and debt and loss. I mean, the price of love, the price of love is grief. We eventually say goodbye to things we love. The price of living a life is death. We eventually let go of the bodies we inhabit that we love so dearly, and we cling to life and enjoy it, and then eventually we have to let it go. This is the nature of the eighth house, and Pluto Mars in this house for Cancers is bringing forth some very, it's a very powerful dynamic of, you know, equilibrium. Like, it could be that the scales are being balanced and that things that you've loved are it's time to leave. But it's also that you could be receiving very deeply in exchange from things that you have loved or sacrificed on behalf of, that there's some gifts that are coming to you. But the scales are tipping back and forth, and the Pluto Mars is a very powerful moment of karmic, let's call it a karmic leveling of the scales. It's very powerful and sudden and unexpected, potentially, which could be a little traumatizing in the eighth house. I don't want Cancers to get scared. But it's also about the, you know, the redistribution of things and energies, you know. So if you've been giving a lot, it might be time to receive, and it could be very sudden and dramatic the way that that shifts. So watch for those kinds of very interesting karmic soul contract reciprocal dynamics to be shifting dramatically for Cancers. All right. Now, we'll go into, oh my God, hold on, sorry. Oh my God, I just about coughed out my lung. I'm still getting over a cold that I had last week for like an entire week. And I can't stop thinking about the word society. I'm so sorry. Okay. We're good. All right. So Leos. Leos play it play we Oh, I'm so sorry. Oh, you guys gotta think I'm the most annoying person. I'm so sorry. Okay. So Mars. Mars Pluto in the seventh house for Leos suggests that this dynamic energy that creates the opportunity for significant evolutionary change and transformation. I mean, Mars Pluto really forces the issue: change, grow, evolve, die and be reborn now. It's very demanding. And that energy, we already know that Pluto is going to do work on your relationships in the seventh house for a long time, a couple of decades. And it already started a little bit last year. With Mars hitting Pluto here in February, I mean, right around Valentine's Day, while Venus is also about to enter your seventh and conjoin Pluto, it really suggests that there is an opportunity for things to shift dramatically this month. At the very beginning of Pluto's very long journey through the seventh house, right away, there's an amazing opportunity for things to shift, for things to heal, for things to be purified, and for there to be a kind of change of values or priorities in your relationships, a different way of thinking about and doing relationships, and a different way of understanding yourself through the mirror that relationships provide. So keep that in mind, Leos out there. All right, let's go to Virgos. So for Virgos, we're placing everything into the sixth house. Now, this is a place very much like the eighth because they're joined through the same angular triad as the seventh. Excuse me, they're joined in the same angular triad to the seventh house. That's the way that the houses were grouped. This house, like the eighth that has this kind of, I mentioned the blood bank. Let's put it this way. This, instead of the blood bank, the image that comes to mind in the sixth house is that of the sacrificial fire. So, you know, you pour in India, you know, in ceremonies, it's very common to pour ghee, little ghee into the like melted ghee onto the fire, helps it burn. And it's put a little ghee, put a little fat, put a little elbow grease, put a little blood, put a little sweat, put a little tears, some tears into the sacrificial fire. When you put your own life essence as a sacrifice into something for the sake of serving or for the sake of generating a result. Of course, the connotation here is that if you are always working from a state of lack and constantly trying to generate things through some kind of devil's bargain, well, let me just work and sacrifice and burn so I can get something more, so I can, you know, the bottom line of the sixth is learning to not work from a place of deficit that drives you on as though you never have what you want. And that kind of mentality becomes like a ruthless taskmaster or a kind of a slave driver mentality. We have to be very careful in the sixth house that we're not always working from the standpoint of, well, if I sacrifice enough, then I'll just get to this next thing and then that thing will make me happy. And you never actually get out of that rat race. That's the real shadow of the sixth house. But the sacrificial fires of the sixth house, if you serve ideals and visions that you believe in that have virtue, if you serve in the development of skills and abilities that you believe could be of some dharmic good to the world or to yourself in terms of bringing out the best in you. If you sacrifice and work toward things that you care about, if you persevere and overcome obstacles in the name of things that are good and sacred, the sixth house is such a wonderfully rewarding place, but it's a place of chopping wood and carrying water, and it is a place of shaving little bits of yourself off and casting them into the sacrificial fire. So for Virgos right now, the question is, what are you willing to sacrifice on behalf of? What are you working toward? What are you, what is energizing you? And also, where are those voices of you're not good enough? You need to do more. Where are they coming from? Why are they there? Do they need to be there? Can we heal? Can we release? Can we forgive? Can we be, you know, a little less hard on ourselves? So these are the good things for Virgos to be thinking about. Mars, Pluto in the sixth can activate a powerful drive to work toward things you believe in that you really care about. And that could be a fantastic thing that yields amazing results in time. Sacrifice, hard work, service to things that are bigger than yourself, that are noble, whether it's your own career or a larger virtuous project that you're in service to. But also remember, if the sacrifice is kind of masochistic and it never lets you out of its grip, you might want to look at whether or not this kind of slave driver mentality is actually helping you or not. So, okay, so a few things there. Let's go ahead. I have not totally ruined this session. Let's go to the Mars-Pluto dynamic for Libras, which is taking place in the fifth house place that was associated with Venus. It was called the Joy of Venus and the House of Good Fortune, in a place that is broadly associated with a sense of creative fulfillment in life, whether that's children and procreation and being fulfilled because you have offspring, or if that's writing a book, or if that's making music, or whatever else. Mars Pluto holds out the possibility right now that some kind of creative impetus, a creative impulse that's erupting right now in your life, it's very, very important. So when you look at Mars and Pluto getting together in the fifth house for Librans, you think, okay, for Librans over the course of the next couple of decades, the need to include, incorporate, and work through unconscious material in relation to your creativity, your maybe if you have children, your relationship with them, their legacy, as well as the sense of, you know, are you happy or not? Like, are you feeling creatively satisfied with your life? Are there creative outlets and channels that are meaningful? Pluto's working on that for you for quite some time, and Mars this month is accelerating that process. And then Venus comes in too later in the week. So really profound questions about creativity, creative satisfaction, and a shift in values or thoughts about what might be creatively satisfying or what might provide lasting creative fulfillment. We are here to be creators. That is the fifth house in a nutshell. All right, for Scorpio, we bring this energy of Mars-Pluto into the fourth, a very dynamic and deep place, the place that acts as the foundation of the entire nativity. And so the roots of our chart usually include things like the private sphere of life, our home, our family, our roots, our parents, our actual living environment or property, as well as the emotional, ancestral sort of history that we come from, our upbringing, family of origin, or the family that we have now as our own, can all be located in the fourth house. Pluto Mars in this house, first of all, Pluto, again, over the course of a couple of decades, suggests upheaval and delving into unconscious material, changing patterns, purifying or healing ancestral karma, relocating or shifting how your roots support you. And, you know, a lot of the times we have coping mechanisms that we've developed. We have traumas that we've experienced. We have good things that we've inherited from our family history all together at once. Pluto going through the fourth house over a couple of decades can really help you, you know, heal things that need to be healed, release traumas that need to be released, mine and appreciate those things that have gone into giving us some solid support as well. Mars-Pluto coming together at this early stage in Pluto's movement through your fourth house is really sort of accelerating and accenting this process of excavation and development around the roots. Let's see what happens there with when it comes to home and family and the activation of things around the roots and maybe living environment. Well, that'll be a really, you know, pretty big transit because it's angular and coming through this week, followed by Venus. I like that Venus is coming through because at least if there's a little drama around the fourth house topics, Venus comes through and maybe provides a little bit of a soothing presence. All right, let's go to Sagittarius. With Sagittarius, we place all of the energies of Aquarius that are present right now into the third house. This is a place that really, it was called the house of the moon, the goddess Dia, and it is everything to do with the environment, the local kind of ecology. So I call the third house the house of culture and the house of, it's like the cauldron of culture. It comes from our ancestry. It comes from where we grew up. It comes from the kind of people we grew up around. It comes from the kinds of changes and lessons we need to learn that come through the local environment and the culture and the people and the mindset. So you think of the third house like the aquarium that you live in. And it obviously has a lot, there's a lot that ties into our upbringing in the third and fourth house. And with the third house, you can also, when Pluto enters the third house, first of all, it means that the fish tank, the environment of your life, psychically, emotionally, culturally, intellectually, is going to change dramatically. That can mean learning new things. It can mean hanging out with new people. It can be about opening your mind or changing your mind. It can be about redesigning the environment somehow on any level, intellectually, technologically, even just redesigning the way you relate to your daily environment. Sometimes that means moving to a new place, or it might mean that there are things happening in the world around you that relate back to your roots. For example, we think of the third house as a place of siblings and any kin or relatives that are like brothers or sisters, cousins, aunts, uncles, people who in the ancient world probably lived in the same village or city as us, that we're all connected through family or bloodlines. Changes in the family constellation are like changes in the fish tank, right? So when you have major life changes happening in the people that are close to you that form some kind of root level matrix or constellation, That can also those changes can actually have a major effect, although it's subtle and we don't always see it the way that it creates change. So you want to watch for changes coming in the kind of broader sense of environment around you that could also include people that have some kind of history with you. Anyway, so watch for pretty dramatic shifts of mind and environment for Sagittarians. All right, so for Capricorns, this is all in your second house. I think people get pretty stoked about these kinds of transits in the second house because, I mean, let's be real, the second house is related to our assets, our resources, our possessions. So those are not just material. They are also about the development of skills. So in the second house, for example, Pluto entering could mean not just that money's going to change or transform or grow or whatever, which could be really exciting, obviously, but also that what you're in possession of as a matter of your skills and resources that you could use to be profitable. I mean, when people go back to school, you'll often see major transits of the second house. When they become proficient at some kind of skill, or they develop a new credential, or they start a new business, and they have to learn new things and essentially come into the possession of new or different resources, quite frequently second house. So Pluto Mars to me suggests a very forceful, dynamic shifting of what you have or what you are in possession of, or what you're developing or cultivating, what you can call an asset or resource, which could include major changes around money, but could be more broadly speaking about the development or cultivation of things that you believe will benefit or help you in some way. And that could be involved with people too, not just skills or like energetic or financial resources. All right. For Aquarians, oh gosh, in the first house, you know, that's huge. The force of change that Pluto brings is to your psyche. It's to your actual character, psychology, your body, your health, your appearance. It's to the role you play and how you see yourself in the world and what you understand as your duty or your skills or your strengths as a person. So Pluto Mars is, you know, really activating and accelerating the need for personal transformation, identity, and physical and mental and emotional identity changes that are, maybe they come about because you're starting something, or because you have to stand up for something, or because you have to assert yourself in some way. Those would all be typical of Mars Pluto. But either way, the force is one of dramatic, cathartic, personal transformation. It could be also that you have to be a little bit careful with, you know, temper or willfulness, because this is certainly a transit that it could be forcing the issue of personal growth and change. And part of that might be about developing a stronger sense of self or will, but you don't want to overcompensate and kind of like, I don't know, sometimes we kind of have to figure out how to use the Mars button, and it may involve a few fails, you know, or we just become a little too strong. Oh gosh. All right, last but not least, we have Pisces rising, which places the Mars-Pluto dynamic in the 12th. Now, here's the one thing I'd say about this. The 12th house is, when you're driving, it's the blind spot that you can't see and that you have to kind of actively turn your head to see. Another way of putting it is that there's always something cooking on a burner that we've forgotten about. And at some point, like, it, let's just say it's like a teapot, it's going to start whistling and you're going to go, whoa, oh my God, I forgot that there was something on the burner. Whatever's whistling, it can be the most magical things that you are unconscious of that suddenly appear and come into your awareness. And it will be the fact that you forgot about it, or that you somehow knew it was there but didn't see it. It will be about the unconscious way in which the thing appears that becomes so instructive, so transformative, and sometimes so jarring or alarming. That could be, and it could come forth with Mars Pluto, is that the teapot is whistling and there's something from the unconscious that's ready to show itself to you in ways that are forceful, dynamic, instantly transformative, especially on the level of mind, thought, or idea, but it springs from the unconscious. Which means it could also come from conflict or disruptions or challenges or things that pop up that are sort of unexpected. You feel like you have no control over, and they're not necessarily easy. Like, that could be a Mars and Pluto in the 12th house kind of dynamic. But if you take time to stay curious and be persevering, patient, humble, and and get some, you know, keep some stick-to-itiveness around you, I think what you'll find is that the transit of Mars through the 12th house, especially since it's followed by Venus, will bless you with some new understandings of yourself or the world or people around you. Maybe things you didn't quite see or that were, again, in some kind of blind spot. But now that they're here, they come bearing gifts. We know that this could be the case as well, that these things could be very empowering because a lot of these planets, the Sun, Mercury, Mars, Venus, after moving through Pluto in the 12th, they will all enter your first house where they come into conscious contact with you. And then in your second, where you come into some kind of possession of them. So the sequence from 12 to 2 through transits is often rewarding if we can just trust that the things that come up that are unexpected and somewhat unconscious are not our enemies. They're not out to mess us up. But we do have to be tactful and careful not to react to them in ways that are too impulsive and sort of like rash. But anyway, those are some thoughts about that 12th house space for Pisces. Okay, we have gotten through it. I hope that your eardrums are intact after my societal outburst. that was my own little Mars and that was my own Mars and Pluto moment, I guess. But anyway, that's it for today. I want to remind you guys that there is a webinar coming up Thursday night on Venus and Pluto. And first of a three-part series that I'm doing on a new monthly webinar that I'll be hosting each month on the outer planets and love. So this month we're doing Pluto and Venus, or Pluto and love. Next month, Neptune, and the month after that, Uranus. If you guys want to check that out, go over to nightlightastrology.com, click on the live events tab under the events page, or it's right on the home screen as well. You can register, you get a link to join the webinar. If you can't attend, we also send you the download link afterward. That is it. I hope you guys are having a nice week and that Mars Pluto will be a constructive experience for all of you. And yeah, that's it for now. We'll see you again tomorrow.